south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, let's talk about how expat rags like International Living and blogs and newsletters and such lie to you about the cost of living here in Latin America. I'm sure you've heard the stories. I've heard them a million times too. Live like a king in Costa Rica for $1,000 or $1,200 a month. Same with Mexico, Panama, Belize, you name the Latin country, and there's a story about people living like kings on $1,000 or $1,200 a month. Well, the truth is, if you don't change some of your first world habits, it's never going to be true. For example, if you're thinking about coastal life, having your own place on the beach, you're going to need a pool. And let's not even talk about the cost of putting that pool in. Let me tell you, I've had pools before. And I tell you what, you're going to need a pool guy to come in once a week or a couple times a month anyway, and he's going to put chemicals in your pool, which, of course, no one likes. But if you don't, after a while, your pool's going to look like your Latin neighbor's pool next door. And the fact is, I don't care how rich a Latin person is. If he's got a pool, eventually he's going to let it go to seed. I've seen it so many times. Either he quits paying the pool guy or tells the pool guy to skimp on the chemicals, because even when I had a pool some years ago, it was costing me like $100 a month just for chemicals. And my pool wasn't any great shakes. I mean, it was a small one. And worse, often gringos will rent an apartment in a very nice complex with a very nice pool and setup, and all is well as long as the place is fairly new. But after a couple of years, the dark spots in and around the pool, that would be algae and other kinds of growth, start looking pretty nasty, at least to us gringos who are used to seeing pristine pools all the time. Well, pretty much all the time anyway. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've been invited to a party at one of those condo complexes with a nice pool, and everybody's hanging at the pool. Often it's the centerpiece of the party. Yep, and there's drinks in the obligatory barbecue pit poolside too. They call them churrasqueras here. And of course, the whole while, kids and adults playing and swimming in it. And guess who's not going in? The gringos. Well, most gringos with a half a brain anyway. And being that I'm 98% off the gringo tourist trail, most times I'm the only gringo there and I'm the only one not in the pool. What a wimp, huh? But it's not about not wanting to go into water. It's the lack of wanting to jump into a bacterial cesspool. Oh, and worse yet, you don't ever want to go to a jacuzzi party at a Latin person's house. Probably not a gringo's house either. Oh, you can watch all right, but make your excuses when they ask you to come in. In fact, if you read up on it, you'll find there are more diseases picked up in public and private jacuzzis than any other form of liquid entertainment. So let's go back to your expenses up in the States. What's your monthly electric bill? $100, $200? Certainly if you've got air conditioning or electric heat. Well, as you heard me say before, if you live on the coast or near the beach here in Latin America or any of the lowland areas, you're going to have air conditioning, at least in the bedroom. Which reminds me, the other day I was talking to Bitcoin Dan. We were talking about computers and how long they last. Now, as you might imagine, he's a software guy extraordinaire. So his computer is an absolutely integral part of his life. And he told me there are only two times in the last 5 or 6 years he's been here in Central America that his computer failed him. It went on the blink. And both of those times were when he went off the reservation, off the Altiplano, and went down and had himself a beach house rental vacation. He found out just how brutal and damaging the humidity, salt water, and heat can be to electronic devices. However, if you have a beach house, rental, or condo, whatever, and you've got a room with air conditioning and your computer's in there, no problem at all. So it's highly recommended if you like lowland or beachfront living, you better have a room with air conditioning. Unless, like a lot of gringos, you end up going native. And sometimes you start out totally first world, and after a couple of years, you end up going native because either run out of dough or you've got no hobbies except sports and drinking. Yep, just ask any long-term gringo you might meet who looks a little shabby, a little rough around the edges. You know, gravy stains on the shirt, greasy, kind of tousled hair. Those are big hints that a guy's gone native, as well as the fact that he hits the bars before noon. Or you'll find when he walks into a bar or cantina, the bartender sets him up with a drink before his butt even hits the stool. Though generally, just by his appearance, you can tell he's got no functioning air conditioning in the house or wherever he lives. Now, the truth is, most of these gringos who've gone native are kind of short on dough. Though they may have had air conditioning when they first came down, you find out soon enough that the costs of electricity here in Latin America can be 3 or 4 times per kilowatt hour than it is in Cleveland or Seattle. And it's also true, as mentioned in previous shows, houses are not insulated, nor do they have double or triple pane windows. Oh, and forget about weather stripping on the windows or the doors, too. Even building contractors don't use it unless you tell them they have to. Oh, they've got first world franchise hardware stores in all the medium and large cities here, so you can get it. They've got just what you need, but I don't see anyone buying it. In fact, in the store, I usually see a coat of dust on the stuff, but they have to stock it. If it's a first world franchise, they have to stay consistent. Like Ace Hardware, Costco, and Sears. Yep, they've got Sears down here, and they're on the grow. They may be closing them and going bankrupt up in the States, but Latin America seems to be the final frontier for failed U.S. franchises. Yeah, you knew that already, right? Oh, and by the way, since gringos are always looking for business niches, I got one for you. Just go out and buy one of those thermal imaging cameras. In fact, I think if you got a decent smartphone, you can now download a thermal imaging app. And here's what you do. You advertise yourself on OLX or in the local newspapers or on bulletin boards saying, if you have high electric bills and air conditioning, you'll come over and do a thermal analysis of the rooms that are being cooled. Then you offer some kind of guarantee, a teaser. You analyze their electric bill and you cut it by 10, 20, 30%, whatever. And then you could even tell them that your fee will be 3 or 6 months of the savings that you've realized for them. And then you, well, not you, one of your boys, does the weather stripping job for them. And you make a bid on that too, because of course you're installing it like a first world gringo, not like a Latino. Hey, what a niche. It'll cost you about nothing for the equipment. You get the smartphone and the app, or you can go fancy and impress people by buying a nice thermal imager for $200 or so. Then after that, it's all in the marketing. And man, I can't tell you how many wealthy Latins and gringos living on the beach or who have part-time beach houses are extremely concerned and touchy when it comes to the air conditioner. Yep, they all know it's the big energy hog in the house. Which is why so many gringos and expats and wealthy Latinos who first move to the beach into their condos, homes, or whatever, just crank up that air conditioner for the first couple of months until they get hit with those massive bills, and then they start scaling back. They get gun-shy. In fact, I think the last 3 or 4 times I stayed at someone's beach house, you know what the first thing the owner said to me? And these are pretty good friends of mine, too. They'll say, Johnny, don't forget to turn the air conditioning off when you're not using it or if you're not in the room. I've even been in private houses on the beach where they've had little post-it stickers on the AC saying, please turn the AC off when you leave. So believe me, if you live in the Latin American lowlands or have a beach house, that high electric bill due to air conditioning is always on your mind. Oh, and I forgot to mention the pool has a nice big pump. Normally a half a horsepower for a small pool, up to 2 horses for a big one. And basically, it's supposed to be running all the time because it's constantly filtering water through a big sand filter. It's there to continuously filter dust, dirt, insects, hair, peach fuzz, martini olives, suntan oil, even Uncle Harry's toupee. But get this, not urine, so don't pee in the pool. Because if you do, it's forever circulating. So what's that cost in electricity per month? Well, let's do the math. Let's make it easy, and this is pretty common. Suppose you got a 1-horse pump. That'll use about 746 watts per hour. That's like having 7 100-watt light bulbs and a 46-watt light bulb plugged in at the same time. 24 hours in a day, let's say 30 days in a month. That works out to around 540 kilowatt hours used per month. That's if you're running the pump continuously, and that's what you're supposed to do. Now, in the States, it's common to pay maybe 10 cents a kilowatt hour, including all the taxes and stuff. So, it costs you about $54 a month to run the pump for your pool continuously, as recommended. Provided you use it all year round, which you won't if you're in Cleveland or Minnesota. But you'll do that for sure if you're here in Latin America. All right, so let's do the math if you have a pool here in Latin America. And let's say you're paying 30 cents a kilowatt hour, about 3 times what you pay in the States. That means you'll be paying around $160 a month just to run the pump in your pool. To that, let's add the cost of running air conditioning in a very leaky home, because almost all of them are here in Latin America. I know of a few gringos personally who are living on the beach. They've got pools, air conditioning in the house, no insulation, very leaky windows and doors, the usual suspects. Each of them is paying around $200 a month just for their electric and air conditioning bill. course, they're not just going on weekends. They live there all year round. And one of them, who loves sports and doesn't have many other hobbies, is putting down about a case of beer a day. That's one of the dangers for gringos living on the beach who don't have many hobbies and have a lot of time on their hands. All right, so if you have a pool and air conditioning and you're in the lowlands or on the coast, if you have a decent-sized pool, you'll be paying $150 a month just for electricity to run the pump. You'll be paying about $100 a month for the chemicals. Let's say $200 a month for electricity and air conditioning, and maybe $30 to $50 a month for the pool boy to do the work. And men, you gringos, just a little hint here, you don't want a good-looking pool boy. Not if you're living with your significant other. A lot of movies and soap operas with that theme, let me tell you. Which begs the question, why don't they have pool girls? Just pool boys. Where are the gender police when you need them? So if we add up those numbers and do things first world all the way, because that's what we're trying to do, to live like a first world person all the way, on a third to a half of what you spend to do it up in the States, right? That's the goal. Turns out, if you live in Latin America, on the coast or in the lowlands, with a pool, and most people will definitely say, I need one, you're looking at an expense of around $500 a month. I know it sounds outrageous, but I do know some gringos who are footing those kind of bills. But man, their pools look nice. You get what you pay for, right? Except when it comes to taxes. You heard me. I know some gringos who are paying around $500 a month to keep their pools crystal clear. A pretty hefty price to pay, and that's before you pay for food, rent, car, water, clothing, entertainment, incidentals, etc., etc. So then why do you think so many gringos and expats with pools end up, after a while, telling their pool girl, wishful thinking, huh, to ease up, go minimal, like the rest of the people with pools in the neighborhood? Which means you're just asking for a blue, green, and black scum attack. All right, so let's say you do want a first-world-style pool all the way. What if you're trying to maintain all that on a Social Security check, let's say $1,400 a month? Then, before you know it, you're down to having less than $1,000 a month to spend on the rest of your living expenses. So you can live at lower sea levels and by the beach, or you can live in the Altiplano. That's why so many people who experience the Altiplano end up staying there forever. No heating, no air conditioning, and believe me, it's really not worth it to have a pool in the Altiplano. It's just a little too cool. But some people, at first at least, think they have to have one. Now, the fact is, I know a few gringos with pools living in the Altiplano, and they almost never use them. Well, you do it first, just like you do with a new jacuzzi, but kind of reminds me of that old sexual axiom I heard way back in the day. I think it was a divorce lawyer who told me this. He said, if on the day you get married, you take a jar and put a buck in it every time you make love to your wife, or vice versa, then at the end of the first year, you stop putting money in and start taking it out every time you make love to your wife or vice versa. Statistics show 99% of couples will never empty that jar. Kind of sad, huh? Now, you might say, what does that have to do with pools and jacuzzi? Well, there is a correlation. So yes, if you live on the coast or in the lowlands, you will need a pool. Even if you're living right next to the beach, you'll find jumping into that saltwater ocean may be refreshing, but when you walk out, man, you feel sticky. It's that salt coating you have on you, along with millions of microscopic organisms, plastic monomers that have dissolved in the ocean, fish and crustacean excrement. You're going to have that. I mean, where else do the fish do it? And almost always, some detectable level of fecal bacteria. Not to mention, think about all the other ocean-going animals that are sloughing off body parts and stuff. I mean, they don't call them sperm whales for nothing. Ew. So, you expat gonna-bes and wannabes up in Montreal, Milwaukee, and Cleveland, you might be thinking, if you could run out of your house in the morning, jog a couple hundred feet to the beach and jump in, man, that would be heaven. Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been there, and in the first month, you'll probably do it too, but the image of doing it is a lot different than reality. Because, you know, if you've ever been in the ocean before, after you get out, no matter how much you dry yourself off, you feel like you got a coating of something on you. Yep, you'll need a shower after you go in the ocean. And pretty soon, I guarantee, you'll be going in the ocean less and less. Oh, you'll hit the water all right, because it's so damn hot at the coast and in the lowlands, but it'll be in your pool. So what I'm saying is, beach house, yes, if that's your style of life. But to really cool off, you're going to need a pool. Don't think the ocean is enough. It ain't. I'll tell you, if you don't have a pool, you'll be making friends with a neighbor real fast who does. But chances are, if he's a Latin neighbor, even if he looks like he's got all the money in the world, and most of them put on a good show, it's called all hat, no horse in Texas, you know.
you can pretty much bet on the fact they've got their pool motor on a timer instead of running it 24/7, which means slowly but surely the scum, the muck, and the algae is going to build up and it's almost impossible to remove. So by all means, invite me over, but I'm not going in. Remember, I'm that guy who hasn't had a case of Montezuma's revenge for at least 5 years, probably 10. Must be doing something right, huh? So I ain't taking no chances. All right, bottom line, when you hear about gringos and expats living in Latin America, actually saying that they're living the vida loca or living large on $500 a month with high-speed internet, cable TV, beautiful gym, gardens, sitting areas, truth is, that's pure BS. Oh, it's true. If you're off the gringo tourist trail, in a really nice section of town, too, you can find an absolute gem of a two-bedroom place, garden, pool, utilities even paid, garbage and maintenance included, even internet sometimes. All that for $400 or $500 a month. But you really have to know what you're doing to beat the landlords down and get prices like that. I'm good at it. I've had a lot of practice. But the fact is, green gringos walk into a place like that, and the landlord's going to say $700 or $800. And still, it seems like a great deal compared to Minneapolis or Cleveland. So, more often than not, a gringo will bite. But you see, now that most all of Latin America is a renter's market, I say let the games begin. Lowball the hell out of them. And if they look or seem insulted, let them seem insulted. But give them your business card and say someone's going to get your money and you're going to pay 6 months to a year up front. And you'd like it to be him. He's just got to accept your price. And proof of the pudding that it's a huge bubble and that really works is the fact the other day I was talking to a lawyer. Latin lawyer, of course. We were discussing real estate. He said, if any of your gringo friends come down looking for apartment rentals, here's a tip. Whatever the owner or landlord says, offer them half. Man, I'll tell you, that's the first time I ever heard that coming out of a Latin lawyer's mouth. Of course, it was nothing new to me. But what that means is words getting out amongst the natives. And it seems like every last owner and landlord's getting nervous. Because now you're hearing story after story of houses and apartments on the market where nobody's even set foot in the place for 6 months or even a year. So imagine a guy with little money builds a house and decides he's going to sell it. Well, he can't. Because there's a glut in the medium and high end of the market. And that's our gringo demographic too. So what does he do after 6 months or a year and he hasn't had a single person walk through the door? Even though he's listed it with Remax, Century 21, and all the Latin usual suspects, well, as you might imagine, unless he's a super high roller, panic sets in. Because, as you know, most of the houses gringos and expats are interested in anyway are in gated, guarded communities or residential towers where there's a monthly maintenance fee. Could be $50, $75, $100, never know. And if a house or apartment in one of those projects stays vacant, somebody's got to pay the maintenance. So empty houses and apartments are a big drain on the owner's finances. Not to mention, they usually have a partial mortgage anyway, so there's big payments to make. So what does he do next? He figures, well, he can't sell it, so let's rent it. Maybe we can cover the expenses and the mortgage. And that's where we're at in 90 to 95% of Latin America. Owners and builders are in various degrees of panic as we speak. Now, here's an example of a bit of a gringo folly. I was talking to a really cool expat the other day. He told me about a house he's renting for $1,000 a month. Beautiful gated, guarded subdivision, a brand new house. He was the first one in. And you know, there really is nothing like a brand new house or apartment, huh? Oh, sure, it's got the usual flaws and some rough edges. But you know, the detail stuff's easily corrected, like paint splatter on the tile floor, etc. Ceiling lamp cover plates, pulling off the wall, just a case of redoing it with the right screws. Anyway, my friend's showing me around the house. It's a beautiful place. He's telling me what a great deal he got. He said the landlord wanted $1,200, and I told him I'd pay him 6 months up front, and he dropped it to $1,000. And I said, you're the first renter, right? The first one in. And he said, yeah. He offered me a rent-to-buy deal, but I'm just going to rent. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, originally the place was up for sale, but a whole year went by, not a single person went through it. Then he said the owner decided to put it up as a rent-to-buy, and there were no takers for months and months either. Then me and my wife came along. It was a perfect match, exactly what we needed. And I said, wait a minute, you mean this house was built and not a single person came through it for over a year? He said, yeah, I'm the first renter. And I said, you didn't lowball that guy? You didn't offer him $600 or $800 instead of $1,000? He said, when I came down, I allocated $1,000 for rent in my budget. So worked out fine. I'm happy with it. And I was thinking, that's fine. He likes the house. He set aside $1,000 and that's what he paid. And you know what I felt like saying, but I didn't? Listen, you're a gringo. Don't you know when no one's walked through the place in over a year, you can offer the guy half and he'll probably bite? And if he doesn't, that's when you tell him you're going to pay 6 months or a year up front. Then you show him a wad of cash and for sure he's going to bite. But, you know, I didn't want to pop the guy's bubble. Because I know in the States, around the Chicagoland area, even out in the burbs, where you're not really close to anything, a house like that would rent for at least $3,000 a month. Maybe $2,000 in Boise. So, yes, according to U.S. standards, he got a spectacular deal. But let me ask you this. How would you feel if you were renting a place on a year contract and someone told you the next door neighbor has an identical place and he's paying $200 or $300 less each month? By the way, the guy we're talking about is living an absolute first world lifestyle, way off the Gringo Tourist Trail in a very nice section of the Altiplano. So even if he did get the place for $600 a month, living as a first world guy, shopping at Walmart, not going to the big central markets because it's just a little too inconvenient to drive that far, going to Costco regularly and out to eat at pizza joints and TGIFs, I'm guessing he's spending around $40,000 a year to live an absolute upscale first world life. Oh, and did I mention he's got a live-in maid too? Now, if he was single, I'm guessing he'd spend around $20,000 a year. Because he, like so many other guys, including me, only buy new clothes when the old ones get kind of raggy. That goes for shoes, too. We only buy them when they're falling apart, right, guys? Which is why it's usually the case when you see a gringo that's well cleaned up and his clothes nicely matched and color coordinated. It's usually because there's a woman in his life that has more class than he has. Or he's gay. Of course, there are always exceptions to that, but that was life the way it was in Chicago, where I grew up. Now, once in a while, I'll pick up International Living or Live and Invest Overseas or AARP, and I'll see little ads in the back saying, come on down to Belize, Ecuador, Bolivia, Panama, Costa Rica, or some island in the Caribbean and get yourself a penthouse apartment for $85,000. Be the first one in. Well, let me tell you, 20 years ago, that's the way it was, except in Costa Rica and most of Panama, but you won't find those deals today. Oh, I'm not saying you can't find a very nice penthouse studio apartment for $85,000 to maybe $100,000. You'd be the first one in, but you're only going to have 500 or 600 square feet. Those days are gone where you could get a nicely appointed two-bedroom, two-bath, first-world-style apartment in a complex with a pool and a gym and all that, or in a residential tower for $85,000 to $100,000. Of course, if you buy a piece of land and build, $85,000 will get you a very nice 2,000 square foot place all day long. Because in Latin America, specifically off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you could build a real nice first world style house for around $30 to $50 a square foot. Not counting the land, and prices for land here in Latin America are all over the place. If you're close to the Intercontinental Highway, you're going to pay a fortune. If you're just a mile or so off of it, it's cheap as farmland. Now, you longtime listeners I know are thinking, Johnny's a hypocrite. He's contradicting himself. He's saying there's a big glut in the housing market in most of Latin America. So why in the world would he ever tell you to build? He'll just be adding to the glut, right? Well, for one thing, at $30 a square foot, you know what that means? You could build a 2,000 square foot house for around $60,000. 3,000 square foot for a little under $100,000. Now, if I was to make a projection about when the housing bubble's going to blow, and it will blow, don't know exactly when, could be tomorrow, could be 3 years, but I don't think any more than 3 years, I'll tell you, because it's cracking mightily around the edges, that's for sure. But I'd say when it does blow and the dominoes do fall, you could pick up practically anything for a third of today's asking prices. So, for example, let's go back to that really nice house that my friend's renting for $1,000 a month. He says with the rent-to-buy option, the owner slash landlord told him the asking price to buy was around $500,000. And my prediction when the bubble bursts is you could pick it up for a third of that. More like 175 G's. All right, let's do the math. It's around 3,000 square feet. And let's say you were to pick up a nice piece of land in a gated guarded community for maybe 50 G's at today's prices. And you build a nice 3,000 square foot house like that for $30 a square foot. You should be able to build that exact house, probably better because you'll be around making sure the details are all taken care of, for around 140, let's say 150, with land and a few extras. So what does that mean? That means that if you build a house just like that one, you don't have to wait for the bubble to burst because you're getting it at bubble bursting prices. In fact, under bubble bursting prices, Because, as mentioned, I'd say most of the properties will go for a third of what they're asking right now. In the case of that house, $175,000. Meanwhile, you could build the exact same thing in a nice gated guarded subdivision for around $140,000 or $50,000. Which is why if you got the cash and the stamina to wait it out for a year and fight the contractors and show up every couple of days, keep a good eye on your construction team, it does make a lot of sense to build. Besides that, you get exactly what you want in exactly the subdivision you want to be in. But on the other hand, if you don't know anything about building or construction, I would advise against it. Oh, you'll get a nice looking house superficially, all right, but after you've lived in it a while, after a year or so, you're not going to appreciate all the defects and rough edges that would have been taken care of had you known a little bit about construction yourself. So in the end, when you talk about cost of living or you read articles about it, the cost of living for everyone is slightly different. Often more than slightly different. In Latin America, there are three major determinants that'll skew your curve. The biggest one being whether you're living on or off the gringo tourist trail. I'd say if you live smack dab on the gringo tourist trail, Panama, Costa Rica, parts of Belize, parts of Mexico, any port where cruise ships stop, or in most small Caribbean islands, your cost of living could very well be equal to, or maybe even more, than where you're living up in the States. Meanwhile, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, depending on your habits and such, you could be paying a third to a half of what you're paying up in the States for an equivalent lifestyle. And for some gringos and expats, you know, a great compromise is to live slightly off the gringo tourist trail. Then you can drop your cost of living significantly, but yet you can pop in and out of the gringo tourist trail, schmooze and mix with gringos, that is, get your gringo fix, if you so desire. Fact is, I know quite a few gringos living way off the gringo tourist trail, married or having a Latina significant other. They tell me, after a while, they do crave a little bit of gringo companionship. Simply because when you're completely immersed in Latin culture, there are some things and quirks in your own personality that just won't click with the Latinos around you. For example, your tastes in music, literature, interests, hobbies, and there's that all-important sense of humor. You know, Latins rarely will get your jokes. But you'll get theirs because they're dumbed down, rehashed old gringo jokes of the knock-knock, who's there variety. I'm not kidding you. Which is why in the past 5 or 10 years, things like Skype and WhatsApp, email, the internet, etc., has made it so much more easy and pleasurable to live way off the gringo tourist trail. You could still have your tacos, so to speak, and eat them too.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.